Hey guys, welcome back for part two of the J&J Show. My name is James Quick, and I'm a Microsoft Technical Evangelist in South Florida. And I'm here with Joshua Drew, if you want to give an introduction.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Josh Drew. I'm up in the Northeast, cold Northeast. We're 16 degrees today.
16 degrees. I think we are still maybe in the 80s now, so not too bad.
Awesome.
But last time, Josh, we talked about basically an intro to App Studio. And did our first basic app, and then got into some of the code in Visual Studio, I think is what we did. Is that sound right?
Yeah. We looked at some API calls. You showcased the Rotten Tomatoes. I looked at Azure Mobile Services. So today I think we'll extend that a little bit more. I have a little demo on SoundCloud Music Streaming. So we'll talk about that. And then there's a bunch of new offerings that App Studio just came out with in the past week or so.
Yeah, awesome. So I think a couple of things that you're talking about that I will talk about. One is the incorporation of Twitter into App Studio. So I think that's something that users have mentioned for a while now. They've kind of been waiting around for it. And then also Instagram. So you can now register for as a developer for Instagram or Twitter, get some IDs and tokens and stuff and bring those into App Studio and then be able to pull down feeds from Twitter and Instagram, so you can search by a handle, a tag, anything really. So pretty cool stuff. All right, so here at the home App Studio webpage, so it's appstudio.windows.com. So at the home, they've got a My Projects tab. We've been through this. So I'm just going to create a new project and do an empty project. And one thing to note in the recent update with App Studio is that they no longer support Windows Phone 8. Is that right, Josh?
Yes, it is.
So now they're really pushing for the focus on universal apps, which I think is just kind of the basis for the future of Windows development. But no longer do you have direct support for your Windows Phone 8. If you have a previous project that you created with Windows Phone 8 and you kind of generated the source code, I think you still have access to that to go back. But no, you can't generate new Windows Phone 8 source code. So just something that you guys should be aware of as a recent update. But anyways, here in my App Studio app, I'm going to give my app a title and just call it Instagram and Twitter. And if we scroll down a little bit under our basic sections, here we see the Instagram and the Twitter options, right? So that's what, again, people have been talking about, they've been waiting on, and here it is. So if we click on Instagram, call it Instagram, call it whatever you want. If you look in data configuration, I don't have anything here, and it's because I need to set up a new Instagram key. So let me click on the Instagram key button, and here I give it a name. And I could call this James Instagram, you can call it whatever you want. And then I need a client ID. So for the client ID, you would actually need to go into the developer website for Instagram. So I've got that tab open. And it's just Instagram.com/developer, just so you can see the link there. And at this homepage, there's a button here for register. And I'm already logged in. Obviously, you'd have to log in. But a button for registering your application. So I can click here, and I've already set up an application, so now I can just copy basically this client ID. All right, so I can just go ahead and paste in that client ID and validate. We get a good validation. Cool. So now if I go back over, and that was a new tab that it popped up. If I go back to my main tab in App Studio and I refresh the data configuration, I now have the one I just configured, which is James Instagram. Again, you call it whatever you want. And we can search by tag, we can search by user ID. So tag, right now they have Windows Phone. I'm going to spice things up a little bit. I'm going to go in and get my Instagram account. And so for user ID, you might be tempted to type in your username. So my username is jqquick223. It's one I've used for years. But it says here that only numbers are allowed. So the user ID is separate from your username, which is a little tricky. To do that, I found a website called Jelled, J-E-L-L-E-D, and if you go to their Instagram page, I can type in my username, which is, again, jqquick223. Let me get rid of that. So type it in and press go, and then they give me my user ID. So now I can copy and paste this. All right, so go ahead and click confirm, and now you'll see that a lot of my pictures show up here. And I'll, just for fun, I'll go in and kind of show off. Let me save this first, but some of my pictures. So let's see if I can go in and edit this data. Give it a second to load. But Josh, a lot of what I've got on here, and I don't know if you're active on Instagram or not, but a lot of what I do is cooking and my dog. That's the majority of the photos that I have is cooking and my dog.
That's awesome. Now, my photos are usually my dog or my kids playing sports.
Okay. Yeah, see, I'm not to the kids stage yet, so it's dog or cooking. So here's some of my pictures, and I can just make these a little bigger. So there's a homemade barbecue chicken pizza. There's me on New Year's Eve. Greek yogurt biscuits. I make all sorts of weird stuff. So anyway, I figured I would share some of those and probably see if I come. There's one of my dogs. So plenty of the rest of them are either dogs or food, like I said. But I'll just save this. So there, I mean, pretty straightforward. You go in and get that client ID, and it loads all of your images in here from Instagram. So you could also search by a tag if you wanted to as well. So the second piece, like we talked about, is the Twitter piece. So a very similar kind of thing here where, again, there's no data configuration saved. So we'll click here to create a new one. And we're going to need all these different, a key, a secret, a token, a secret, all these things from Instagram. Again, we'll go to the developer page for Instagram, dev.twitter.com. And at the bottom, it was kind of hard for me to find. At the bottom, they have a button for managing your apps. There it is under tools, manage apps. And I've already created, I've got a test JQ app here, so I'll just use that. And actually, I've already got that page open. So if you go into that page, you can find there's my API key, there's my consumer secret, and then my token and my token secret. So I will just go in just like before, just copy and paste those in. So I'm going to grab, and I've got these in a text file on the side, so I'm cheating a little bit, but there's my consumer key, here's my consumer secret, here's my access token, and then my access token secret. So those four things are what you need. Go ahead and click validate. Now it's validated. Again, go back to your main page, refresh. There it is. And I can do a search. So there's a search with a hashtag. I could do a user timeline. So if I was doing a user, I could do my Twitter handle, James Q Quick. And let's see if I confirm this. Now if I scroll over, now, here's all of my tweets. So again, if you can imagine, there's a lot of different scenarios for App Studio, but if you want to be able to promote yourself, your business, your brand, whatever it is, you can now pull in Instagrams of your business, your restaurant, whatever, the pictures, and then also your tweets. So pretty cool stuff. I think that good things that they've added in the recent update with App Studio.
Cool, James. That was awesome. Yeah, Instagram and Twitter are pretty big and makes App Studio a little more robust in terms of the apps that you can create. You know, with that said, another release that came out not too long ago was Touch Develop. So now we have integration with Touch Develop out on App Studio. And for those who don't know what Touch Develop is, it's a programming language, or I should say a program built by Microsoft Research, touchdevelop.com. It's really aimed at, you know, middle school and high school kids to kind of get them up and running with programming. But what's really cool about it is it's platform agnostic. It's a web browser. You can go in, you can build some robust applications, and you can export it out to iOS, Android, Windows, and the web. So what I'm going to show real quick is kind of an extension of what James did. So this is an app I built. It's called Social Ski, and I'm up in the Northeast, and I do a lot of skiing, and these are some mountains down in southern Vermont. But what we have here is we have, you know, similar to what James just showed is, you know, the tweets coming in for Magic Mountain. But I also have an Instagram feed coming in as well. You know, again, similar to what James has showed. But just to show you the Touch Develop, this right here is a game that I built in Touch Develop that I'm embedding into the App Studio app. So if we click on...
let me clarify one thing, just so I understand. So this is an overall App Studio app, and this part that you're on right now with the play button, that's the app, or that's the game that you build in Touch Develop.
Correct, yeah. So okay. What App Studio allows you to do, and I'll show you in a moment on appstudio.com or appstudio.windowsphone.com, is how to embed your Touch Develop app within App Studio, if that makes any sense.
Yep, perfect.
So this right here is kind of the launching point to the TouchDevelop application. So I'll click on this. I get my TouchDevelop app, and this is just, guess, the ski resort game. It looks a little better on the phone than it does on the Windows 8 machine, but you kind of get the gist of it. So which resort is this? Is it, you know, Stratton? That was Stratton, so that was correct. If it's incorrect, you'll get a red screen. So nice. That's kind of a TouchDevelop game that I built that's integrated within, within App Studio. Okay, so now we're in the App Studio project. This is the project I made for the social ski, and you can see all the different sections. Down here on the bottom is the TouchDevelop section, which I have added here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in here and show you how to configure that. James, didn't you just most recently work with the Hour of Code in TouchDevelop?
Yeah, so Hour of Code was last December, and if you're not aware of it, it's just basically a week where you're supposed to help students get involved in coding, programming, whatever, to kind of teach them about computer science. So this was, I worked with two groups of middle school students, about 25 per group, so about 50 total students. And what we did was we built a game with TouchDevelop. So it's you get to actually change some code, but it's in a fun kind of way where it's centered around a game versus maybe a little drier stuff of just writing an if loop or something like that. So this, they had something tangible, something fun that they could play with as a result. So it worked really well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So this is the section, and similar to the sections that you know, James showed before with Twitter and Instagram, you get to configure you know, certain parts of it. So under the data area, the only thing you really need to enter is the script ID, and you get that from touchdevelop.com. After you finish the game, there's an app section where you'll be able to find your script ID. You take that, plug that into here, do a search, and it'll find your script. So forget exactly what that was called, but if I even search for my app name, Ski Guess, it'll go out to TouchDevelop and look for you know, keywords that are Ski Guess, and apparently mine's not coming back, but that's okay. The one thing to note about this as well is it will bring back anybody's TouchDevelop game or app. So if you are building one, chances are, you know, someone might be able to find it, which is great. But if you don't want someone to find it, well, then this might not be the right tool for you. The other thing to note, there are some limitations with embedding a TouchDevelop app within App Studio. Really, any third-party data sources. So if you're consuming a REST API, or if you're using Azure with TouchDevelop, that will not be able to be embedded into an App Studio app. It's just strictly, you know, kind of a, you know, a small game or a small little app. And you can see some of these that are coming back are just really games, you know, guess the word and head guess and whatnot. And it, from my example that I just did before, it's just Ski Guess. I'm just loading in some images, and I'm just basically, you know, determining if they got it right or wrong. And so what comes back is a few, you know, properties that come back, right? You know, the summary, you know, when it was published, and the proper URL. All of this information is configured out on touchdevelop.com, and the App Studio just pulls that in. And what you get is a landing page, and then when you click the launcher or the TouchDevelop icon, it actually launches a web view that pulls in your TouchDevelop app into App Studio. So it's pretty neat. It gives another extension to App Studio, and, you know, like we did last time and even this time, App Studio is growing, it's changing, and it's extensible. And that's the next thing that we're going to talk about, is how extensible it is. So part one, we talked a little bit about mobile services, and we talked about, you know, Rotten Tomatoes API. Today I'm going to show off a little project that I made with SoundCloud. So here's SoundCloud, and SoundCloud is a collection of, you know, popular artists, popular bands, as well as independent DJs and bands. So it's pretty interesting music service. So here is just the homepage or the landing page of Passenger, right? So Passenger is kind of a popular band that's out right now. They'll put their music on there to stream. So what this app does is it'll use the track information, and you can combine your own playlist, so to speak. So you input specific tracks, and then we go into the code, and we modify a couple lines of code, and we get these tracks able to stream. So if you are a DJ or a band and you want to have a Windows app out there, this is a way to do it. Or if you're a runner or a fitness person where you want your own streaming music but you don't want to pay for Spotify or something like that, this is another way to do it. So here is App Studio, and what we need to do first is create our data collection. And like we showed in the past, is data collection is basically a database, and in this case, it's going to be stored out in Azure. We're using a dynamic resource. And all I really need is the title, the URL, and an image. And technically, I only really need the URL. The title and image is basically bonus. So if I click on Edit Data, what we have here is the track title. So in this case, it's called Pompeii. I got the track URL, and you get that from SoundCloud.com. When you click on a particular track, the URL is up in the browser window. And if I wanted to associate an image, an interesting image with a song, I could do that as well. So you add that as you see fit, all the tracks. And the next thing you need to do is you need to go to developer.soundcloud.com and sign up for an application. So you click on register a new app. You give it a name, and you'll get some application keys that we're going to use in our Visual Studio project. So once that is all configured, once this is all configured, you can hit Finish, generate the project, and you'll get your Visual Studio project. So now we're going to open up Visual Studio and check out some code in there. Okay, so here's our Visual Studio project. It's a universal application, and we're really going to be focusing on the Windows Phone side. So like we showed before in the last one, we can extend this to access different APIs. So what we're doing here is we have a schema, our track schema, which is our title, our URL, as well as our image. So we're using that. And anytime we access one of those particular elements, we're going to call a SoundCloud API to get the proper streaming URL. So that's what this SoundCloud service does, as well as the SoundCloud provider. This code is all up on my website that you can take a look at later on. But this is the API. So it's api.soundcloud.com/resolve, and then you pass in the URL. Remember, we needed the URL of our track. So that's the URL. And then what comes back is a JSON that has a bunch of information. It has the artist, and it has date and whatnot. But the main thing is really a streaming URL. And we have now a music player. This is a new file that we've created. So instead of going to track detail page, which would basically just show you the detail of that track schema, we're actually going to a music player page where we can flip through the different tracks, as well as start a background audio agent to play the music. So here's some code here, which will get the particular track info, and it will start the playback based on the streaming URL. And we'll jump into our demo, and we'll load this up in a moment here. But what's neat about SoundCloud is they're constantly adding new artists, a lot of independent artists, which is pretty neat. So again, if you have a local band or if you know of a local band, you can get them up and running with a Windows phone application pretty quickly. So if I click on our first track, Pompeii, and we'll click play, we'll see if the audio comes through. And I hear the audio, I don't know if you guys do. But anyway, so this is our first song. I could swipe through and it'll jump to the second song, or I can use the controls to kind of flip back and forth. But what's pretty neat about the background audio is that when I leave the app, the audio is still running. So you kind of get the, like a Pandora, like a Spotify, like Xbox Music, you get that background audio going on, but with an App Studio app. So it's pretty neat. It's pretty easy to do. I have step-by-steps and code all out on my blog on drew5.net, App Studio project. I have two portions of it, or two steps. Part one is really just getting the API into it. And what that'll do is it'll just launch a web browser to play the audio. And part two is actually doing the background audio, coming up with a task agent to get the audio streaming in the background.
And Josh, I think the last time that we talked and the last video we did, you had started to work on this, but had really the next step for you was going to be the background audio. So that is all finished now. And now, like you said, with Pandora or Spotify, you can have it running and still do other apps. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And I think the big benefit to something like this is really for those independent bands, you know, the small bands that want to get their name out there. It's pretty easy to come up with a track list and get it out there. The next phase to this really is to utilize the playlist functionality that's out on SoundCloud. So I can create my own playlist, and I want to be able to plug that into this App Studio project as opposed to individual tracks.
Gotcha. And like we always kind of say, the options here are endless, right? With App Studio being able to give you source code, you can change it and incorporate whatever you want, really. So this is all kind of good pieces on where to get started extending App Studio.
Yeah, no, totally. I'm a big fan of App Studio. And, you know, just like you showed off the Instagram and Twitter, and, you know, I talked a little bit about Touch Develop, you know, every few weeks or so, they're constantly adding new features. So it's great to be part of the App Studio team.
Yeah, and it's hard for us to even keep up with everything that's coming out, because like you said, every couple of weeks there's something new, and we gotta play around with it, test it, and see how it works. But I mean, that's a good thing. Not only can you add the stuff like we're doing outside in Visual Studio, but they're also updating constantly and adding new things that people are looking for. So App Studio just gets better and better, and then you can still incorporate whatever you want. And I think as far as Touch Develop goes as well, I might have to revisit that with students. Because I've done App Studio and I've done Touch Develop as separate things, but now being able to tie them together and being able to put something more with a game, I think that's pretty cool. So that might be one of my future upcoming workshops.
No, you're right, James, about revisiting Touch Develop and App Studio. I think where the possibilities can be are really integrating the social data sources, right? Those Instagrams and Twitters, but then putting some fun behind it, maybe doing a game. Or maybe doing a quiz or whatnot. But what's really cool is what you did with the Hour of Code with the middle school and the high school kids. Now we can incorporate what they've already done into, you know, a fuller app or more robust app with right. You know, App Studio.
Yeah, because it's just another dimension with incorporating Touch Develop.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think those are all the demos that we have for today, right?
Yep.
And I guess we're going to have to get started planning episode 3 of the J&J show. So I don't know what we'll come up with, but like we said, App Studio is infinite. So I'm sure we'll come up with something in the next couple weeks or maybe a couple months.